is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Brandon. I'm happy to be here, and I'm loving Hallmark movies. Yeah, yeah. Hey, hey.
Hey, it's Panda. Sure glad I'm right here. Hey, hey. Yeah, yeah, I like Hallmark movies.
Hey, it's Dan. I guess it's fine to be here, but I don't like those Hallmark Christmas movies. But this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Not proud of it.
No, we shouldn't be.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Deck the Hallmark. As you heard in that intro.
And I know what it is.
That's it. As you heard in that intro so clearly.
It's Panda. And he does this. Hey, it's Panda.
It's Panda.
He's got to get on his own rhythm, which is no rhythm. Oh, boy. He just stabbed in the dark there.
So close.
We're talking about engaging Father Christmas today, everybody.
That lasted maybe five seconds.
You couldn't even do it quicker.
Not with you. Well, you want to give it a go?
Invitation? 60 of them?
It's too much.
What's the
concentration? Your hands are so big. It's like a gorilla.
Concentration.
Purple. I don't know.
Dogs.
Boy, I never played.
I don't know what the word, like,
seeing girls.
What's the words that you're supposed to say? It's supposed to be like related. Is it you go in the alphabet?
I don't know.
All right. Concentration.
Concentration.
Deck the Hallmark.
Colors.
Red.
Blue.
Green.
Yellow.
Orange.
Purple.
Chartreuse.
Pink. Chartreuse, you said.
Oh,
it's Friday, y'all.
Feels like it, doesn't
Let's
it?
Let's go.
Doesn't it? We're talking Engaging Father Christmas today. The second of the three Father Christmas movies.
The last one we've watched.
Yes, we've watched one and three. We're doing the middle now. And if you want to hear Marrying Father Christmas, you can go back to season one.
2018.
Yes.
Like November 11th or 12th.
Something like that, yeah. Yes. And we... we were in the Oprah.
Bree Schwartz
from Oprah Mag.
Oprah Mag.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Super fun. And we recorded it at Oprah Mag.
At Oprah Mag.
Oprah.
In the high rise.
Oprah walked by and said, Deck the Hallmark. You get a car.
And then she tried to play Concentration with you. And it was a whole thing.
Brains of Cars.
Under your seat. What do you got? Book club.
Cars.
That's all I got.
Lemongrass.
Lemongrass?
I feel like she likes lemongrass.
I don't
know. What if you had to name some of Oprah's favorite things?
Oh my gosh. I'd be in big trouble. Stedman?
I don't know anything. But it's always a big deal when her big
I just never look.
And I never know what they are. Yeah. And I wish I knew. I never know. I think the homework will ever be one of her things.
Panda already does his favorite things.
Oh my gosh.
Panda's favorite thing is 2020. We have the audio. Trace, if I'm not mistaken, we have the audio of that.
We got it.
Go ahead, cue that up.
Do, 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 do. Panda's favorite things. Favorite things.
Throw rugs with a fringe. Love that. Big fan of that. Skillets that heat up really quick. Big fan. Copper bottoms of them. And blue jeans that fit just right.
Favorite things.
That was so disappointing. And also, you just went to a Zac Brown song at the end there. A pair of jeans that fit just right.
Hear the radio.
Like see sunrise. The sunrise. The feel of my woman's eyes. The stars and stripes fill my life.
Yep.
May freedom forever fly. Let it ring.
Those are all things I really like a lot, guys.
It's not your fault Zac Brown wrote them down first.
Him and I just like a lot of the same things.
You never said chicken fried, which I think that shows some integrity on your part.
You're not a chicken fried fan.
Not a fan.
Just because Zac Brown
it upsets the tum-tum.
The tum-tum.
The tum-tum.
Is it getting picked up for another year?
It doesn't look.
No, it doesn't look.
Based upon what I heard, I can't imagine.
Believe it or not, guys, been signed up for 5 more seasons. Wow. Pretty excited about
With whom?
Oh,
Netflix.
Netflix picked up
for everything, apparently.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, anything can go on Netflix these days,
really,
huh?
Yeah, can.
Unbelievable.
All right. Well, transitioning to Engaging Father Christmas. We're talking about Engaging Father Christmas today. It originally aired on November 12th, 2017, and it went a little something like this. Starts off with a recap of the first movie, in case you missed it, and the title card of 1 year later. Caught up to speed there. We see Seattle, and we see that she's packing her suitcase, and we see Ian using sandpaper like a man. He's serious and chopping wood and whatnot. Man, Ian's so cool. She's flying in, and Ian is driving to Boston to pick her up. He's stuck in traffic, and so at the food court, she's waiting, and she meets an old boyfriend named Josh. Do you guys remember the recap from the beginning of the movie? We get it again, and this time in word form, where she tells him everything that happened in the first movie out loud. It's supposed to be a secret about her father. And she says it out loud. Good thing no one ever eavesdrops on people's conversations at the food court. Miranda is staying with her half-brother's family, which is a bold move, and I hope it goes well for her during the holiday season. She gets a random unknown call, declines it. She gets a creepy text of her father from her that comes to her phone, from, quote, the ghost of Christmas past. She goes to tell Ian that someone texted her a picture of her father from an unknown number. And he's like, oh, that could be anything. Technologies these days. I'll go back to chopping wood. Ian is going to propose with a Hallmark branded ring. It's in his pocket, just waiting for the right moment, because everyone knows that a good spur-of-the-moment proposal is the best. But first, he takes her to a small little house and says, hey, look at this. This is nice, huh? And he's getting ready to propose there in that house that doesn't matter. And she's like, oh, talking, and it gets interrupted by her half-sister-in-law. No proposal here. Her assistant then calls and says, hey, this guy keeps calling, saying that he's the ghost of Christmas past. What do I do about that? And she's like, just don't worry about it. Just ignore it. So she goes to ignore it. Josh from the airport shows up at this town, which is weird. And he says, hey, you want to grab some food? And she's like, okay. And everybody's like, Ian's parents are there watching her have dinner with this guy. It's weird for everybody. And he's like, hey, I think you should get a lawyer, get the money from this family, and run. Not those words, but you know what he meant. We meet a reporter who's in town to write an article about James Whitcomb, which seems like suspicious timing with all the text messages coming in. Is it the mysterious person? We'll find out. Ian is trying to do this romantic proposal thing, this time with a horse and a buggy, and we get a slow walk to the gazebo. It has mistletoe in it. It's perfect. And she says yes before he can even get down on one knee. She sees it's a ring from Hallmark, and she says, you shouldn't have. He went to Hallmark. another creepy text come in, this time showing a picture of her and Josh at the airport. So it's clearly not Josh, as pointed out by Ian, who he just really gets it. Another unknown caller, and it's the reporter this time, who disguised her number and says, hey, I want to talk to you, and I want you to tell me all the secrets of James Whitcomb. Miranda doesn't spill the beans and says James loves Christmas. So good. But we do establish that the reporter isn't the one calling Miranda. And we do see this guy driving into Carlton Heath, who looks like a real sketch bug. We'll call him Sneaky Steve for now. Sneaky Steve shows up to the inn and is a real sweet talker. Miranda and Ian are trimming the tree, and she sees painting underneath the wallpaper. They rip it off as slow as possible, and we see that it says, may truth and grace reside here, which is very nice. We see a lot of Christmas Carol in this movie, a lot of it. And Sneaky Steve sat around for all of it. He went to the play, and confronts Peter after the movie. And then Peter confronts Miranda at the cast party. A lot of confronting going on. The next day, Miranda goes to find Sneaky Steve. And he's like, hey, I'm writing an article. And it's going to be written one way or the other. I think you should talk to me. I think you should tell me everything. But either way, I'm telling everybody what I heard, overheard in the food court of the airport like a weirdo and took that picture of you. I'm definitely not the bad guy here. She tells Ian that she's leaving town. She feels so bad that she let the news spill. And he's like, you can't leave. And she's like, I will leave. And so things really got heated there. Wendy Malick's in this movie. You remember Wendy? Tells Miranda that she has to stay. That they need to tell the story the way that they want it to be told. So they call that other reporter and say, "Hey, I'm going to tell you everything, and I need you to put it on by this time." Which is really a bold move, but she does it anyways. Sneaky Steve is real bummed when he sees that it's published, and he goes on his way without anybody beating him up. Wendy Malick and Peter give Miranda the cottage, which is a pretty great gift because it surely paid off. Last scene is Miranda and Ian walking through the snow, looking at their new gifted house, and her saying, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be great to get married here next Christmas? And that, my friends, was Engaging Father Christmas.
We did it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this movie, break it down even further. But first, we're going to take a quick break. Concentration. Breaks.
One more time. Another bad review.
Home Depot.
Lowe's.
Lowe's, the grocery store.
Amazon.
Doghouses. Dang it. Oh, we'll be back here in 10 hours.
You remember when we used to do fake ads?
I do.
And people loved them.
They weren't fake.
They thought that they were the funniest things ever. And we did them to practice for having the real ads.
Yeah.
And instead we do the real ads and people act like they just can't believe it.
I think we do good ads too.
Good. What'd you say? Good ads.
We're good.
I like when you talk.
Good ads. It's a little bit of chicken fried. I like cold beers.
Throw rugs.
I like cold beers.
A pair of jeans that fit just right.
Well, if you cut the clip short, I also mentioned that I like when the radio's on.
Turn the radio up.
No, radio on. I'm not. I don't know what you keep quoting.
Yeah, you're right. My bad. Sorry.
Is it not the radio on?
Pretty sure it's the radio.
I thought it was the radio.
A pair of jeans that fit just right. I'm looking up chicken fried.
And the radio on. You think it's turn the radio up. I can see it both ways. I would not be surprised.
Radio up. I am correct.
And the radio up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
see
would
the
work.
Sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of a precious child. And know a mother's love.
It really makes the second part of it kind of like
touch of a precious child.
It goes in a weird direction.
Zach, what are you doing?
And a mother's love?
Yeah. I think it's his family. Love in my woman's eyes. It's his kid. And it's mother's his mom love. And dad. Yeah.
I love that.
I do too, man.
It's way better than chicken fried. But you do see where his priorities are.
Yeah.
I like chicken fried. Yeah. I like my jeans to fit very well.
It's
like my
cold beer on a Friday night.
Yeah.
A pair of jeans that fit just right. So chicken fried.
Yes.
Cold beer, jeans.
Jeans and a radio.
The radio up. And then.
Family.
Family. That's right. My wife.
Not
my kids.
Before my chicken.
That's right. Cold beer.
And my beer.
Amen.
It was like Panda. Throw rugs, then jeans.
That's right.
Yeah. You want the aesthetics of the house to blend.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
With fringes.
It's time for all the feels part of the show. We talk about what in this movie gave us feels. Panda.
We didn't do a hot take, did we?
Not even a little bit, Bran. Back to you. We've never done the show before.
All right. Okay. It's time for the hot take. It's the part of the show we talk about what we felt about this movie. We don't hold back, hold any bars. Over to you, Panda.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Bob. We got a real great one here today. Really fun. Let me say, The Engaging Father Christmas is a much darker movie than I expected it to be. There's somebody who's trying to basically, extort her? I don't know if extortion is the right
thing.
He's
just trying to get a scoop. He's trying to get a story. Yeah.
But the plot's already fairly dark. Does not know her dad. He had an affair. I was surprised last, whenever we reviewed
Finding Father Christmas.
I was surprised by that plot point. This just kind of dives a little bit deeper into that. This is a woman who's struggling to feel like she's fitting in with her family. And so, yeah, overall, I didn't hate this movie. I think that this is the, I'm almost scared to say, I think it's the best sequel of a Hallmark movie that we've seen.
I thought you were going to say it's the best of the three, and I was just like, are you crazy?
No, incorrect, no. But I was surprised by, actually, this is better than I thought it was going to be. I had very low expectations, because the third one is not good. It's really boring. But this one is interesting.
We're not going to watch the third one again, and I've made that perfectly clear. If we did, do you think we'd be kinder to it, or would
yeah,
be harsher?
I do. I do think I would be kinder to it. I think I would be more invested in the characters, and I can see the history a little bit more. I think that's maybe the other thing I really appreciate about this movie, is they do a good job of continuing on that history. I feel like she is developing as a character within the Hallmark, whatever that means within this franchise, but
within
like
the Hallmark,
within the Hallmark franchise that they've set for it, like
within parameters. The Father Christmas franchise, yes.
Which yeah. is different than the Perfect Wedding series that we did.
See, I think the third Perfect Wedding was better than this. Like you had this picture and you don't know what's going on. You get the proposal of the second one. Neither are good. I don't want to be clear, but I thought it was better
than this. I don't know, man. Erin's a good actor, and I think she's really endearing in this movie as well. I think that she does a really good job. I don't know. I really appreciated her in the movie. I think Niall's not bad in this. Yeah, so that's my hot take on it. It's not a bad movie.
In an alternate universe where I wanted Dan to still be friends with me without making him do this, I would like to watch all of the movies from season one again.
Good Lord.
And see how our reviews would change.
Yeah, I think they would change. I really do.
See, like, just pit them up against each other.
I would not be nearly as down on Majestic Christmas. That thing got blasted. I'm so sorry, guys.
I don't remember.
You just picked that out before. You just decided you won.
I went all in on that movie, and it was so unjustified. I was cranky.
It's actually of that
season. It was not bad crop, man.
It's probably top half of that.
Which one was Majestic Christmas?
It's the where they're
dancing outside the theater. That's actually a pretty
good scene. When they're dancing outside the theater is a great scene.
And I just, it was a swing. I went in on that movie for no reason. Listen, I'm sorry. That wasn't a good moment for me. I was hangry. I was grumpy.
There's so much about
shade.
There's so much about what we do and the way that we do it that's just so unfair to these movies. We don't do, like, the Christmas movies are watched in the worst case scenario.
9 a.m.
Yes. 9 a.m. back to back.
You're
Let's do it.
To watch
everybody.
It after going to some family event where you're in Christmas feels and then you pop some popcorn and watch the movie at 9 at night.
Comfy jammies.
No, we're
but season
9
one was even worse.
We've
it's
already
like,
had our Diet Coke.
You just
and
coached a game. Watch it on the bus on the way back.
Oh, listen.
Dan's like, this movie is the worst.
I was watching him on my phone. And I was just throwing stuff.
It was the worst way to do it. Everybody.
It was.
It's not ideal. Yeah. But it would be a fun science fair project.
Good gosh.
My hypothesis is that we would
that
be.
That Kickstarter would have to be $250,000.
$250,000.
To re-review.
To re-review all 37 of them or whatever we ended up with.
Minus
Christmas for the books. Remember that one?
Oh, that one's not getting any better. I can promise you that's not aging like a fine.
We're not going to watch When Calls the Heart again.
That's a
this Kickstarter.
No. That's my thing is you're like, I said, do you think we'd be kind of the third one? Like, I've watched enough When Calls the Heart to know that Abigail worrying about the potluck in that movie doesn't get any better to me.
But the baby being born, is that the same?
The baby's already there.
But there's one Jack's where she baby. Gives birth and
Jack
they tell
Jr.
the yeah
the, Jack.
But she's stuck in a
he turns
cabin.
Into flame. He goes into flames. Oh, that's The Incredibles. I'm sorry. I was trying to just inject this with things I care about, and I just
this would be fun.
You got it.
Down the rabbit hole maybe one day for the Brainwave Gym Plus. We go because I don't remember most of my reviews, so it would be fun to go back through season
and
one.
Know.
And me not
I
know
don't
it.
Either. Yeah, I don't, that would be fun. Is not
to go
knowing.
Back through the titles I mean, and just be like,
clear,
"What do you think you thought of this movie?"
There's some clear,
read the synopsis. Give you the actors.
Christmas for the books, like terrible. We all know it was terrible, but there's some of them
I don't remember. Yeah.
I don't honestly know. We never did a top five.
We never did a top five.
We did. No,
we did. We did. It was recorded. I couldn't tell you what they
I
were.
I couldn't tell you my top five either. Maybe if I heard all the names, I could.
Yeah,
man, boy,
it's been fun.
Something really has. Yours was Small Town Christmas. You're number one.
Yeah, I love Small Town Christmas. Yeah. I love Palaha, man. Gosh, I love him doing that role too, walking down the street.
Small Town Christmas, in retrospect, is probably a top 10 Hallmark movie.
Walk it like
Christmas movie.
Him walking down doing the street, doing the little voice.
Yeah,
I don't being think super like, bitch, being like a more charismatic.
It's good, but I can't tell you anything beyond that opening scene. Like,
oh, I can. But, I can. He's a he comes back and is it's because he was in the big city, and then he comes back because his wife like. Or his
sister is dying. Yes, died. So he takes over the book. He takes over the bookstore.
Yeah,
like bees. It's bees. Something bees. Yeah. And then his ex girlfriend comes in on a book tour.
That's right.
Is that the one where the big company gets shut down because the power's out?
The whole block is being bought up.
Yeah.
By Sketchball McGee.
Like, and he redoes the Christmas thing. What are we doing right now?
And I remember her at the Christmas tree light, and they bring her up for a reading, and she reads the saddest portion That's of right. her book
she
of all
does.
Time.
Yeah, she does.
It's time for all the feels part of the show. We talk about one of this movie gave us those feels. Panda? We didn't give our hot takes.
Not even a little bit.
What are we doing?
I like this. I like it. And I actually think I like it more than the first one in this case. I think as a whole, like it, I like the mystery element.
It's close.
It's fun. And I like, and I, you know, Sneaky Steve is a fun character for me. I thought he was fun. It's just, and everything around it, him taking the picture in the airport is super weird. And no one confronts him on that.
Yes, no one.
And I love it. I love it all. And so I think I liked it more than the first one.
This movie is absurdist. The first movie has a mystery component that is dark, is actually dark.
Yes.
There was a possible affair. There's a rich family that wants to keep it secret. It's a real legit, can't believe Hallmark did it thing. And this movie, they try to do it again. Instead, it's just a reporter trying to get a scoop, sneaky, taking stalker pictures. And no one cares. It's like, oh, somebody else took a picture of me in the airport. Whatever, let's just move along. Move along.
But
no big deal. It is simultaneously trying to be dark and deep and light as cotton candy, and it falls flat because nobody cares. It's a reporter who's trying to get a story. Nobody cares. The first one, you actually care about her father and this backstory that could have been very, very surly and not okay. And in this one, it's just like, let her be a part of the family, for crying out loud. This is the dumbest, you know, extension of a universe. It's bad. Not as bad as the third one, but bad.
I disagree with you because I think that you have somebody who's in pain because she can't share that he was her
but
dad.
But why like, can't and I think, she share? Because that family is holding their name as more valuable than a person.
But correct. But I would also say that is to be expected for a family that got this bombshell and
that's
is working
her team's fault.
This.
That's her team's fault. That is her team, not the gut.
Yeah, her team did it.
She should trust her gut, not her team.
Alonzo's also here to tell us, to remind us that all of our season one reviews are coming out in a book. And I do think that's true.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good reminder.
Alonzo and I have something to do here in about 15 minutes.
And B's books is from Hope at... Okay. Well, nothing I think is true anymore. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back here on Deck Moment.
Want to know first spill in the rug? Do you know the best part about that second break? There's a lot of good stuff. We just skipped all the feels like it was nothing.
Yeah, dude, this episode is just all.
Hey, here's my all the feel. The engagement, real good.
None.
The engagement was dope.
When he plugs in and
lighting the trees all the way down. Yeah, I can agree with that.
If you can't get on board with that, get off the road.
It's time for a wait.
Your road rage.
Do you want them to crash?
No, I want them to take an on carefully or take the on ramp, park safely,
the off
be
ramp.
Careful.
You don't want them to take the on. Are they on the interstate?
They're on the interstate of
life.
Of get out of here.
And
they're
you want
getting
them to
off
take the on ramp to
get out of
in here.
Here.
They're on the interstate of get out of here, and you want them to take the on ramp to get out of here. They just did a loopy loop back onto the interstate to get out of here.
I just want them to think
they're coming
their
back. They're on their way back now.
Yeah. Because no one's being excluded from this team. We're here for everybody.
Separate way, what a smart show. We talk about one of the three minutes go away. What this episode, also all of it. Dan, Panda.
How go? What are you doing?
I'm not good up against the time crunch. It really throws me off.
He takes a ring right out in front of his fiance.
There's
like literally word. Pulls it out. Pulls his, that's bold.
He's like, I got to check it to make sure it's still there. My fiance's in the room.
Also, Ian putting together the fact that the ex couldn't take the picture at one point. Like, that's just, it's like dawning on him. He's just like, whoa. It's just, it's dumb, but it works.
It does not work. No, it doesn't work. It's dumb, but it works.
No, because I could see myself getting in the hot water.
That's a review of you.
It's dumb that it works. Is that my life? That's going to be my gravestone. He was dumb, but it worked.
But it works, man. It's funny.
All right, that's all I got.
I didn't know that Hallmark made a ring. That made me go, wait, what? You walk into the playhouse, and they have wrapped a what appears to be a bench or a pew in wrapping paper, which makes sitting on it very tricky and a mistake. She's like making an argument for ex-boyfriend Schnuffins over there, and she says he was very understanding that I didn't know my dad. Who's not understanding of that? Who, when you say, I didn't know my dad, it's over. Yeah. Who's saying that? What? There's only, I think that there's only like one correct response, which is, oh man, I'm really sorry for you. I just don't know how, like, that's not, I don't know. She says, so we walk into the cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
And they have put a tree up, and they put it kind of in the center of the room. It's off center, but that's neither here nor there.
It's in front of the window.
It's in front of the window, and it's out there. I don't really get how it's plugged in. It was an interesting place to put it, though.
It's a bold place.
And Winnie Malick walks in and says, that's where we put the tree every year, too. Multiple people have made this mistake.
Wow.
That's just, if you wanted to be in front of the window,
put it by the window.
Put it in front of the window.
It's that easy.
I never know why they do this.
Yeah.
Why are you putting Hallmark, someone who's directing or making these movies, making these decisions, why do you keep putting the Christmas tree in the center?
But they do that with all the furniture. Remember, there was that one time somebody had a vanity, a makeup vanity, and it was dead center in the middle of the massive
floor. That's where you want it.
I just don't understand.
Yeah. Wendy Malick's talking about how much, she's talking about how much she loved her husband and all this stuff. And she talks about how they saw this house after he was in his first Broadway play. And she points out, I don't remember the name of it. You don't remember the name of your husband's first Broadway play?
Man,
bold.
It's bold. Bold. I didn't even catch that one.
I think you were in the potty.
Yeah, you were, I was in the potty.
That was a potty misstep.
So I'm live.
Dang, go
so
ahead.
Good. You saying that Niall couldn't figure out if that guy took the picture or not, it just doesn't do it justice, because before then, Niall, his fiance, is getting creeper pictures sent to her with Ghost of Christmas Past next to it, and he thinks it's a secret Santa. My man is like, I'm going to the dumb buffet and I'm going back for seconds. Your ex-boyfriend could have taken it. Maybe he's got stretchy arms.
Do you think Ian
just needs to chop wood and just stay out of this? Secret Santa?
Do you think Ian did this as Secret Santa last year and now it's just occurring to him it was a mistake?
Some people got gifts like from a registry or from a list. I'm your Secret Santa. I'm going to take pictures of you when you don't know I'm there and send them to you from a burner phone.
I see now where that's not a great move.
Maybe it's a Secret Santa. Aaron, chill out. God, why are you going to be so dramatic? It's not a stalker. It's a Secret Santa. Are you serious right now? Boy, that is brutal. The old Secret Santa stalker. I'm worried about his wallpaper removal technique, mainly in the fact that at the rate he's removing it, Haley's Comet will come quicker. he is dealing with the same area of wallpaper in three different scenes on three different days. Just rip that sucker off. It's not hard. That's not the hard part of wallpapering. For the love, I don't understand that. And then she promises not to tell her father's identity to anyone. And the reason that she told this guy in the middle of a crowded airport is because 2 years ago, he was happened to be dating her when she found out that she didn't have a father? Is that the way I understand this?
Yes, that's she right. Broke a he was very sympathetic.
She broke a sacred oath to someone in an airport loudly because that one time he was nice to her?
I won't tell anybody unless I know them.
Unless I know them and I feel like I feel like I can trust them. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It did seem like a messed up.
It doesn't.
You know. Who are we?
Yeah. And lastly,
who am I?
I think that
the you are mindful of. Go ahead. We don't have time.
I'm not.
I am a friend of God. Go ahead.
We don't have time. Yeah. I'm not.
He calls me friend.
We got it?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm not here to critique plays, especially small town theater. But the production of The Christmas Carol has gone severely downhill from 1 year to the next. And it's a Christmas Carol. It's pretty straightforward. But the first year that Niall is Scrooge, there is all this old person makeup on him. I don't know if you remember this. Yeah. Like, he looks unrecognizable. Year two, strap a beard and a hat on that boy and get him out there. And then the girls are just doing bits. Like, Christmas Carol is diluted to the point that it's going to become just like a South Park episode in 10 years. Like, it cannot keep going at this rate. I'm very concerned about that. Those are my white whats, Bran. Back to you.
Thank you. It's time for What the Hallmark. It's part of the show where we wonder what could have been and would maybe happen that would give some clarity to the questions that we still have. I'm going to start with my friend Panda. Panda, wait, what the Hallmark?
All the feels. Hot take.
So maybe this goes along with what you said. I think that they didn't have as much money to make the play better this year because last year
they didn't have as much money to make the play better.
Yeah, to
you give mean the full cost. They didn't have the same budget as last year to make it as good.
Yeah, make it as good. Whatever.
Yeah.
And the reason why is there was hardly anyone there last season.
Last
you remember
season
that?
It was down empty. Year. That's
this
right.
This year is packed to the rafters.
Packed.
And I do want to know why is it packed? That's what right. changed? What changed
word
from last
of mouth
year to
on
this
Niall's
year?
Performance.
That's the only thing I could say. Maybe they were all excited about. Sheesh. He was unrecognizable. Then he came back this year. They're like, that's not great. So next year, I'm expecting it going to be another down year. Budget's going to be up. Going to be good. Big budget.
Sparse crowd.
And then it's just a cycle again.
It's an ugly cycle.
My What the Hallmark piggybacks on that a little. Because this year they say it's the 30th anniversary.
Yes.
But Niall's. Or whoever that is, the dad. Isn't Niall's dad? It's Niall's dad.
Yes.
In the first one says he's been playing Scrooge for 30 years, but in reality, he would have only been playing at 28 max if this is the
It was 30th. A roundup. It was a roundup. We have all done
I just need to know how long it's been. It feels like it's been around longer than
we've been doing this 10 years.
88.
Well, we've been doing this 10 years.
10 years, sure. Round it on up.
Round it
up. It's a roundup.
I want to know the logistics. You know, we see this sometimes, and this time it really got me thinking because of how long it happened for, but the plugging in of an outlet of a plug and causing bushes of lights down a street to turn one after another. I want to know the logistics behind it. It is a very cool effect and it happened for a while in here, which really got me thinking, boom, 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 boom. What is it? How do they do it? Even just from a filmmaking standpoint, I mean, are there people behind the bushes going,
no.
How are they doing it? I want to know. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Hey. It's time for the Double Decker of the Week. It's part of the show where we talk about a double decker. Panda does that deep dive, and it's beautiful every time. It's just a piece of art. And who do we have today?
Mary Figueroa.
Yeah. One great thing about Mary, she sells purebred dogs, which is awesome.
Does she breed them or just sells them?
No, you don't. You wouldn't breed purebred dogs. You make them.
You make purebred dogs, so they're out of bread altogether. Yeah. Saw that coming. Yeah.
Yes, I heard you say it, and I thought it, and then you said it, and I loved it.
So these dogs are made completely out of bread.
Yep.
What happens when they get moldy?
You have to buy a new one.
Okay, so they don't last long.
Well, I don't know.
What's her best purebred dog?
Oh, by far, it's a Rottweiler made of rye.
Made a rye. It's a rye
Rottweiler.
Yeah, rye Rottweiler. Yeah.
What's, let's say sourdough.
Well, I mean, you could probably do anything, but that's a poodle.
Sharpei. Sourdough Sharpei.
Man, this sounds like a great idea. So does she makes the bread herself.
Makes it herself.
And then carves it into
whatever dog breed you want. Yeah.
This incredible. Is amazing.
It's art.
Does it? Does the price vary based off of the type of bread or size of dog? Both size and? Of dog,
yeah, it's a both. I mean, if you want an elaborate bread, right?
Yeah. Right.
If you want some, like, that's going to cost you like more.
A pumpernickel poodle would be through the
outrageous.
Roof.
Yeah, you can't even roof. Fathom it. But I mean, yeah, Rottweiler, you're going to shell out for
Golden
that.
Doodle Grain.
Like a white bread Weimaraner, for instance. No,
no. You could. That's nothing for you. That's easy for her. She's in her sleep, she can make that.
Why bread Weimaraner? That's all I'm lying.
We did, everybody. We're going to be back next week. Very excited. It's amazing. Monday, Snow Globe, the ABC Family Classic.
Can't wait
to do that. And be back with another week of Deck. It's just, keep one week after the other. You take a second to breathe and you just keep going. And I'm very excited about it. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, that Greenville, South Carolina. It's produced by Brandon Gray, set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.